Give you all a very warm welcome to this morning's worship service. We are grateful to have our own pastor who will be leading this time and bringing to us God's word. We meet again later on today for prayer at 5:30, followed by the evening service at 6 o'clock. Thank you.
Thank you.
I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvellous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. Let us come now to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and ever blessed God, we come to thee, and we have been reminded that thou art the most high God, who is a God like unto thee, so great, so glorious, so holy. Who are we to come before thee? Yet we come because of thy amazing grace and our precious Redeemer, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And we thank thee for him, We thank thee there is an open heaven because of him. There is access, our prayers are heard and covered and presented. O Lord, we thank thee for him, and we pray that thou would remember him now as he makes intercession, and think upon us. Have all the glory, blessed God, that is our desire, not unto us but unto thy name. Hear our prayer, be lifted up, be magnified in this place, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.
We turn to our first praise, Psalm 34. Psalm 34, we're singing from verse 1 through to verse 9, and the tune is Main. Psalm 34, verses 1 through to verse 9. God, will I bless all times his praise, my mouth shall still express, my soul shall boast in God the meek, shall hear with joyfulness. Psalm 34, verses 1 to 9, and the tune is Main.
God will I bless all times his praise, my mouth shall still express, my soul shall boast in God and he shall hear.
Genesis chapter 1, and we're reading from verse 1 through to verse 23. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through to verse 23. Let us hear God's word. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that have life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great wells, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the air. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Thus far reads God's precious word.
Amen.
In light of what we've just read, we turn to our second phrase, Psalm 136, and we're singing the first version, verses 1 to 10, to the tune, Shepherd, give thanks to God, for he is good, for mercy hath he ever. Thanks to the God of gods give ye, for his grace faileth never. Notice verse 5. Who by his wisdom made heavens high, for mercy hath he ever, who stretched the earth above the sea, for his grace faileth never. Psalm 136, verses 1 to 10, and the tune is Shepherd.
Give thanks to God for good is he, for mercy Lord of glory.
We turn over to the New Testament, to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. This week we read from verse 1 down to verse 14. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1 down to verse 14. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which laboured with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow labourers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding ye have well done, that ye did communicate with my affliction. Amen. May the Lord add the blessing to the reading of his holy and precious word. Let's begin now to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and ever blessed God, we thank thee for thy word. We have been reminded that thou art our maker, and we will continue to bow our knee before thee. How excellent, O Lord, is thy name in all the earth. O Lord, what a great God thou art. And when we consider the work of thy fingers, we are amazed, O Lord, like the psalmist. We thank thee for what we read in the New Testament, of those many encouragements and also those exhortations. And help us, O Lord, in our Christian living. Help us to rejoice in thee. Help us to be more like Christ. Help us to trust thee, O Lord, as we come to thee in prayer. Oh, teach us more and more what it is to pray in light of what our Saviour taught. Help us to exercise faith when we pray. Help us to declare our love to thee. Help us to be focused upon thee, like the psalmist whose heart was fixed, trusting in the Lord. We thank thee for the strength that we receive through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can say with the Apostle Paul, I can do all things through Christ, whom strengtheneth me. Lord, left to ourselves, we would not be able to do, but we thank thee for that which we are able to do, because of Christ. Teach us, O Lord, from thy word this morning, help in the preaching of the word, give that liberty, that help of the Holy Spirit, and in the hearing of the word as well. Lord, may thy word enter our hearts. We pray again for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that he would take and apply the word this morning, not only here, but in other places. We do pray for our brethren in other places, those represented here on holiday. We pray for them, O Lord, for our brethren in the north, in Scotland. We pray for them. We pray for the church in Salisbury. Bless thy servant there today. May he know much blessing and encouragement. for thy servant in Barnstable and Totten, we pray for them as well. For thy servant in Southampton, we pray for him, that he might know thy help and encouragement as well. Many others, O Lord, near and far, we would remember them. Remember thy servant in Chichester, we pray for him as he settles in early into these early years in the ministry there in Chichester. We pray for him, O Lord. For other congregations, we commit them unto thee. We do pray for those in need, those not able to be with us away in the north at this time. We pray for them. We would remember Cobby today and Emma. We commit them unto thee. We pray for them in light of the funeral, O Lord. We pray that they would know that peace that comes from thee, the peace of thee which passeth all understanding. We do pray for them in all the arrangements at this time. For others in need, O Lord, we pray for them. We pray for the young people. Go before them, lead them and guide them in everything, O Lord. May they hear thee say, this is the way, walk ye in it. We pray for those then in the workplace. We pray for those in the school, the college. We commit them to thee. And those in the home, we pray for them as well. Meet the needs of thy people further, those needs that are known unto thee, O Lord. Thou knowest, O Lord, thou knowest what we have need of each and every day, even before we ask. We do pray then that thou bless us here as a people. Bless that which we seek to do as we seek to reach the lost in this area. We thank thee for the ones who came from outside on Friday evening. We pray for them, O Lord. We pray for the opportunities this week as John's Gospels have been distributed by the people here. Bless, O Lord, every John's Gospel that went forth. And we pray, O Lord, use it for thy glory. And other means, O Lord, we pray for at this time. Do go before us then, those in the workplace. Do give them that help day by day and that strength. Lord, we beseech thee. We pray for widows, O Lord, that thou be with them. Be very near to them. Encourage them in their homes. We beseech thee. We pray for this nation at this time. In all that is happening, O Lord, we pray that yet that thou would have favour. Oh, may yet this nation be brought to consider thee in a great and a wonderful way. May people who are being tested at this time through financial things look to thee, for thou art the one they so need in life. We pray for the church in Ukraine at this time. Be with thy people. Lord, they have suffered so much, and also many others in that country. We pray yet for the conclusion of the war there in Ukraine. Stay the hand of Putin. Lord, we beseech thee that he would be restrained at this time. But we also pray for the church in Russia. We are conscious that thy word went forth into Russia in a wonderful way only a couple of years ago. We thank thee for the work that was done by the Trinitarian Bible Society. Bless the church there, Lord, we pray. And in other places, in Iran at this time, we recognise what's going on in that place. We thank thee, despite the difficulty, the upheaval, the church is flourishing in a wonderful way in Iran. Lord, we come to thee then. We thank thee for thy goodness and mercy. We thank thee for thy mercy in the temple way over this past month. And at the beginning of this month, we would again thank thee for what thou hast given us. And Lord, bless the offerings and tithes of thy people. O Lord, use it for thy glory here in this place and further afield, we pray. So hear us now then. We look unto thee. Have all the glory. Bless us in the world. O Lord, may we know a little of thee. O hear us. Forgive us our latest sins. We beseech thee for Christ's sake.
Amen. Amen.
We come to our third praise, Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verses 1 through to verse 7. For evildoers, fret thou not thyself unquietly, nor do thou envy bear to those that wear iniquity. So even like unto the grass soon be cut down, fail they, and they like the green and tender herb, they wither, shall away. Psalm 37, verses 1 through to verse 7, and the tune is St. Agnes Dunn.
For evildoers, fret thou not thyself unquietly, nor do thou envy bear to those that work iniquity.
This week, and we read verses 10 through to verse 13 as we come to this chapter today. Philippians chapter 4, and we read from verse 10 through to verse 13. Now I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Dear congregation, Zachariah and Elizabeth had a noteworthy testimony. We read of it in Luke chapter 1 and verse 6. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord, blameless. They were not known for doing some great wrong or scandal. Their testimony was to be commended. What a testimony it was, and an example to follow. Now here in this chapter, in verses 8 and verse 9, the apostle exhorts the brethren to everything that is virtuous and commendable. We thought of Zacharias and Elizabeth, how commendable was their walk. Well, here the apostle in this chapter, in verse 8 and verse 9, exhorts the brethren at Philippi to everything that is virtuous and commendable. In doing so, he impressed upon them the need to be doing the things that they had been heard and received. And he gave them encouragement to do so. Just notice verse 9. Those things which he had both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. What an encouragement to those who seek to do that which is right, who seek to walk like Zacharias and Elizabeth. God has promised there will be more peace. There will be trials and difficulties. One may be mocked, but what a blessing to know more of that peace. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But then from verse 10 through to verse 14, he now testifies of his joy in that the care that had been shown to him by the Philippians whilst he was in prison. After which, from verse 15, he commends the example of their giving. Now Paul was grateful for the care. Just notice in verse 14, notwithstanding ye have well done that ye did communicate with me with my affliction. He was in bonds, he was suffering, yet the brethren at Philippi communicated. Now there's a number of things here we can consider. The Greek speaks of to communicate, to share in company, to have fellowship with. So first of all, they sympathized with the apostle. He was in bonds. They sympathized with him. And do not we have a sympathy for those who are in bonds? They sympathized with the apostle. They sent Epaphroditus, their minister. We notice that in verse 18. And they helped the apostle in a temporal way with a gift that was sent. You notice that in verse 17. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire food that ye may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odour of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Matthew Paul, commenting on these words, wrote, the care of Paul was in their heart. And the Apostle Paul recognized. Distribution was made. And they sent it with their love and concern. Well, we come this morning to the section from verse 10 through to verse 14, in which Paul, as already mentioned, rejoices in the care that was shown by the brethren at Philippi whilst he was in prison. Well, as he speaks of this, he sets forth certain things that he had known in his life and at this time. He knew what it was to be in bonds. He knew what it was to be blessed by the brethren. Where he speaks of certain things that were known in his life to encourage the brethren, to show to them that he was sincere. He shows in these words his contentment, but then also his submission, following on close behind. But then also his strength. His contentment, even though he was in bonds. His submission to the will of God. But also his strength. And it's those three things I'd like us to consider this morning. As we consider this section from verse 10 through to verse 14, in which Paul rejoices in the care of the brethren at Philippi towards him whilst he was in prison, we note these three things about Paul. His contentment, secondly his submission, thirdly his strength. But first of all, his contentment. Now come with me to verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. He's thankful for the help, the concern, the care, the gift, but he makes plain to them, he didn't go out to go and court that favour, we could say. He was a man that was content. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. He was so thankful. He rejoiced. He made that plain to them. He was thankful for their care, but he wanted to show to them that he was content. He did not speak to gain. He was no hireling. There was no greed in his heart. He did not speak to gain then. He was not unsatisfied. No, he was content. I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Content, at the root of the Greek, it speaks of being satisfied. He was content. He knew his struggles. He was in prison. Yet he was a content man. Now note what we read in verse 11. For I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. He had learned. And where had he learned it? At the feet of Jesus. He had looked to the Lord. He had read the word. And he had learned. And dear brethren, that's where we learn contentment. At the feet of Jesus, as we hear his word. I've learned in whatsoever state I am, whether in want or in prison, I have learned. And you see how his trial had been sanctified to him in prison. Let's not think of a comfortable type of prison today. No, a dark place, a cold place, yet that place and that trial was used, and his trial was sanctified. He had learned much, and we do learn, do we not, at times through our trials. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Being content is so important. We need to learn to get to the feet of Jesus, like Mary did of old. We need to be in the Word each day. The Lord speaks to us through his Word. We need to be in the Word. Certain things come our way each day. We need to learn contentment each day. So we need to be in the Word. We must give ourselves to the ministry of the Word. We need to learn. And we need to learn over and over again. You may have learned contentment one week, but then something comes, and we need to learn it again, over and over again. You think of a timetable at school. It's a number of years ago since I was at school, but I remember the timetables. Maths on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And the timetable didn't change for the next week. Maths on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And it wasn't until the next term it changed. Had to keep learning. I often used to think, why long division? Why not just use the calculator? You're allowed to when you're older, so why not use it when you're younger? Had to keep learning and learning. We need to keep learning, don't we? The Apostle Paul wasn't ashamed that he had learned afresh. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. We need to keep learning. Now, why do we need to keep learning contentment? Well, for a number of reasons. First of all, indwelling sin. Covetousness can spring up. Remember the commandment, thou shalt not covet. Covetousness can spring up in the mind. And we have to put it to one side. And we need to learn contentment. But then consider, secondly, there is the world that pushes worldliness upon us. The way of the world. But then the devil comes and questions. What's the point of seeking to live a life for the Lord when you suffer so? At this point, turn with me to Psalm 73, verses 1 to 3. And you see here the struggles of the psalmist Asaph, how he had to learn contentment. Psalm 73, verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, he thinks of the people of God, but his faith is greatly shaken. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. Why? Because he looked at the world and the riches of the world, the prosperity of the wicked. Be on your guard as you walk through this world. Wealth may increase, but we need to be wise. Psalm 62 verse 10, trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. You see, the danger is when one sets their heart upon riches, they don't learn what it is to be content because they want more and more. And let me use this illustration of the Puritan Thomas Watson. You think of a sailing ship. Water, says Watson, is very useful for the sailing of the ship. But the danger is when the water gets into the ship. And we need to be so wise. We see in Scripture the Lord bless certain ones with much, like Isaac and Abraham, David and Solomon. But the danger is when even those lawful things get into the heart and we're not content. Trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Be content. Be content at the providence of God at this time. Be satisfied. What do we read in 1 Timothy 6 verse 8? And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. It may not be a banquet, but let's be content. In Hebrews 13 verse 5 we read, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Be content. Let your conversation or your living be without covetousness. Be content. And what an encouragement to contentment. The Lord is with you, who provides all your needs, as we note in verse 19. His name is Jehovah Jireh. And what an encouragement. The Apostle Paul here speaks of their giving at Philippi, and he wishes to encourage them. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Be content. Look to the Lord. Set your affection on things above. When you handle earthly things, oh, for a heavenly heart. It's not easy, is it? Oh, to be found more at the feet of Jesus. Ask the Lord to help you. And then consider what you have in Christ. We are so blessed, aren't we? So blessed in Christ. Oh, that we will consider it more often. We're being content. One will be found resting in the Lord. That's why we sang that psalm a little earlier. Psalm 37 verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. You wait. You're looking to him. For the unfolding of providence in some certain area, you rest contented in the Lord. Sometimes one wants to look around the corner. Let's be thankful the Lord doesn't allow us to do that. One day at a time. Resting in the Lord, that's how we are to be. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. The Puritan Jeremiah Bowes write, Christian contentment is that sweet, inward, quiet, gracious frame of mind. Rest in the Lord. Committed to him. We had that exhortation in verse 6, be careful for nothing. Do not distrust God. You trust him. Be careful for nothing. You trust him with the situation. You bring your care to him. You rest in the Lord. And it's a blessing when we're resting in the Lord. So much can come. And we know our own frailty and our weakness. We can be like those of the children of Israel, the children of Israel, stand still, we need to be told. What a blessing it is to rest in the Lord. The Lord provides, the Lord in providence will lead and guide. How important it is to learn contentment. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. For I have learned. You sit at the feet of the Lord, he is the best teacher. In his providence sometimes, as he teaches his people, he will humble them. But they look to him and him alone. He teaches us to trust him in difficult situations. Contentment. The Apostle Paul rejoiced in what the brethren had done. He wanted to make plain. He was no hireling. He wasn't out for gain. He was content. As we think of contentment, remember those words again in 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 through to verse 8. But godliness with contentment is great gain. It's a great gain, isn't it? The blessing of the Lord. The Lord's help. Discontentment wears the soul and makes us poor spiritually. But contentment with godliness is a great gain. 1 Timothy 6 verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. For I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I have learned. And sometimes you know how it is, you sit down in your chair, there's disappointments, but you're brought to that point where you're looking to the Lord and you know then at that time you've learned contentment, you're trusting in him. Now as we think of contentment, we're led to consider submission. And that's the second thing I like us to consider this morning, submission. Come with me to verse 12. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He speaks of different circumstances. I know both how to be abased. He's been humbled there, brought low. I know how to abound. He's been lifted up through the Lord. Brought to a day of blessing, we could say. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. He's been instructed, you see here, his submission through the different circumstances before him. Matthew Paul commenting. He has obtained through grace to a free submission to God. It's part of contentment, submission, but we focus particularly on it. We submit, and we see that in verse 12. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed to be full and to be hungry. He submitted to God's providence. Where providence led him, there he was content, there he submitted. And it's so important. It's not easy at times, is it? But we need to submit to God. James writes in James 4 verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Submit. Is there something in your life at this time you haven't quite got down at the feet of Jesus? You submit to the Lord. You may be saying, but you don't know what I'm facing, but God does. And he knows best. You submit to him. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Submit to God, he's our maker. We're to bow the knee to the maker, as we see in the Son. We're to recognize his authority. In chapter 2, we're to bow the knee to Jesus, God the Son. Chapter 2, verse 10, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, at the name of Jesus. In an initial way, one is to bow their knee, one is to submit, but in areas of Christian living, then the believer is to submit further. Is he Lord of your life? Some people find it hard to get down on their knees. Not easy at times, is it? They have stiff knees. Perhaps there's something you're finding hard to get down on your knees before the Lord in a spiritual way. He's Lord, isn't he? You submit to him. You leave it with him. You bring it to him and you leave it with him. Oh, submit to him. He's king. He's sovereign. We're to submit to his word. We're to think of his commands. What an aid it is to submit to the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet, in view of contentment. It's an aid, isn't it? Submit to him. Submit to his will and providence. Particularly we think about here. You consider his will of purpose, what he has decreed. You submit. There are the secret things, are there not? But you submit to God. His will is right. His will is best. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. We read in Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. Secret. We don't know and understand, but we submit. Well, that's what we should do. But then there are the revealed things. We see them in the Word. And in providence, you submit. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was in great agony, in great pain. And he said this in Luke 22, verse 42. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Father, if thou be willing. But having said this, we know his heart was on a bane. Psalm 40, I delight to do thy will. It may be hard. You may not understand. But say, not my will, but thine be done. And we need to say that, particularly when something happens that seems to go directly opposite to what we want or what we have planned. Not my will, but thine be done. Submit to his providence, like the Apostle Paul. The different experience he speaks of in verse 12, we see him submitting. Submit to providence. Psalm 57, verse 2. I will cry unto God Most High, and to God that performeth all things for me. He's performing. We think there he will bring it to completion. And his providence is most wise and holy. All things work together for good. We may say, what about this? But all things work together for good. Do you not? We want to submit to his good and perfect will. Cry unto him. You may say, Lord, I don't understand this, but I love thee and I will submit to thee because thou art performing all things for me. Leave it to myself. It will be chaos and ruin, but I leave it with thee and thou wilt see me home. I will cry unto God, Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. How one needs to be humble in submitting. If one is to truly submit, there must be that grace of humility arising in the soul, cultivated by the Spirit, turned from any pride, thinking you might know best, no, you submit to the light. It's not easy, is it, at times? But the Lord knows what's best, and he knows our frame, and he'll help you to sit down at his feet. You think of someone who's frail, they need a little help to go and sit in a chair, and so their arm is taken, their help to get to the chair. Will you consider this? Your Heavenly Father holds your hand and your arm and will help you to sit down and submit to him. You ask him for help. But let's consider finally this morning now, thirdly, strength. Contentment, submission, strength. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Paul in his life at this particular time as well had known much difficulty. It was a testing time. We read of his affliction. We read of him being in bonds earlier in the epistle. Yet he knew strength that helped him to go forward. Now it's interesting, isn't it? In verse 12 we read, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. He speaks of what he knew and the doing. But you notice when you come to verse 13, he makes it very plain, the source of his strength was the Lord. The source of his strength was the Lord. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Through Christ which strengtheneth me. There's the source. Remember those words in John 15 verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Isn't it good to be reminded of that? Sometimes we forget it often. Jesus said, without me ye can do nothing. Nothing. We can't submit without the Lord, verse 12. We can't be content without the Lord, verse 11. How the Lord strengthens us, helps us to be content. How the Lord strengthens and helps us to submit. We need it, don't we? We're dependent upon the Lord. I can do all things, says the apostle, through Christ which strengtheneth me. He attributes the strength not to himself, but to the Lord. The strength I know to submit, to live, to do what is right, is because of Christ. Strength to perform Christian duties in accordance to God's word. Strength to perform his ministry as an apostle. Remember, he had the care of all the churches. Strength to be content, strength to submit. And the Lord gives us strength. Strength to be doing that which is right. Strength for Christian living. To live like Zacharias and Elizabeth. Strength to do our duties. Strength to be content, to submit. We do get there, don't we? We may struggle, but he helps us. You think of those words in Psalm 23. He maketh me lie down. And you thank the Lord for the strength he gives to make you lie down in a place of rest where you submit and you're refreshed. How we need strength. The Lord gives us strength. The Lord is at hand to give strength. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He's Paul, he's in prison. But the Lord's there giving him strength. Is it time? He puts strength in us. And he puts it where we really need it. Turn with me to Psalm 138, verse 3. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me, and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. That's where we really need it, isn't it? It's helpful to have strength in our body, and we're thankful for a measure of strength. But where we really need it is in the soul, isn't it? because in the soul we have such battles at times. In the soul we know that soul fainting, as the psalmist did in Psalm 119. In the soul we can be perplexed. He comes and gives strength. We may have had a difficult night, and we're so weary. And we come to the new day, and the situation is still before us. But he helps us to go forward. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It's the Lord, isn't it? I'm so thankful for the received text here, which the authorized version is translated from. For it retains, unlike the critical text, the name Christ. It's not I can do all things through him. One could be led to consider someone else. No. What is correct is here, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And what a blessing Christ is to the believer. What help and what we can be found doing because of him. Remember those words in Psalm 18? By my God, I overleap a wall. You may say, well, this wall before me is so high, I can't scale it. With the Lord you can. The Lord can bring you through the trial. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He's focused on Christ, isn't he? In verse 4, he exhorts the brethren to rejoice in the Lord. In verse 5, he exhorts the brethren to make known their moderation, their Christ-like qualities, moderation, gentle mind. In verse 6, he exhorts the brethren to trust the Lord. Oh, here's the Apostle Paul. He's focused on the Lord. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Here's the example then. He's in trial. He's in prison. But he's able to do certain things. You may be in some situation. The Lord is able to help you and strengthen you to go forward. You remember this, and with this I close. At the Red Sea, there was the Red Sea before them. The children of Israel were hemmed in by the Egyptians. Moses focused on the Lord, said, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still, see God's salvation. And then a little later, we read they were to go forward. They looked to the Lord and they went forward. Well, we look to the Lord and he gives strength, so that we can make little steps further on our journey. You think of a little child, a few little steps. They're strengthened to make those steps. Before they could only but crawl, but now they're strengthened to make those steps. And they go forward, and then they're running, aren't they? Think of what the Lord is able to do. He's able to get you going. He's able to cause you to make steps forward in your Christian life. Well, may the Lord help us in these things. May the Lord teach us contentment. That's so important, isn't it? Particularly of what's happening in the country with the economic down considerations. Contentment, but then also submission. But what a blessing we can look to him for strength to go forward. May the Lord help us in these things. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious God, we thank thee for that contentment that the believer can know. Oh, how sweet and precious it is to be resting in thee. Help us to submit to thee, particularly when we come to situations that seem so contrary to what we have planned or thought. Help us to realise that thy ways are much higher than our ways. O Lord, we pray. And teach us our total reliance we have on the Lord Jesus. O Lord, we thank thee for what we can do through him. O Lord, we've been taught this morning how weak we are without him. Left to ourselves, we would not take one step forward from this moment in the Christian way of duty. But Lord, we thank thee for that strength and help. And Lord, may we focus more on him. As we thought that Paul learned contentment, help us to learn contentment at the feet of Jesus. Help us now, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.
We turn to our final praise, Psalm 71, verses 14 to 18. And the tune is Thomas. Psalm 71, verses 14 through to verse 18. But I with expectation will hope continually, and yet with praises more and more I will be magnifying. This is verse 16. And I will constantly go on in strength of God the Lord. Psalm 71, verses 14 to 18, and the tune is St. Thomas.
But I with expectation will hope continually, and yet with praises more and more I will be magnified.
Up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.